Here we are. We're back again. I've been going through the first epistle of John, the first letter of John, and today we'll be looking at a theme that has been really weaved through the entire letter since the start of it, and we're returning to that theme again, and that is to love one another. And as I've said on many occasions, going through this book, we see a lot of repetition. But each time John gives us something more, something in addition to what he's already said, something more to think about, something more to understand. And I kind of look at it as his letters kind of like a spiral staircase. And every time we come around to the same side, we are seeing something from a different height. Well, with this book, every time we come around to the same topic, we're looking at it with a little different perspective. And so let's go ahead and read through our scripture today. And I've got quite a bit of scripture reading today. So if you want to open your Bibles or follow along on the screen, I'll be looking at 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 10 and going through 18. 1 John 3:10. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. That first verse is really a transition verse. Remember in our last message, the last message I gave, we talked about turning away from sin. Therefore, as children of God, there's an expectation to turn from sin and do what is right. But the transition goes from doing what is right to loving our brothers and sisters. So John returns to what has been taught from the beginning, and that is to love one another. To love our brothers and sisters. So John puts this out here as a command. It's a command that we've seen many times, a command to love one another, but it's really more than just a command. You see, God's very nature is love. These verses state that anyone who does not love his brother or sister is not a child of God. This was a part of a previous message that as a child of God, we will carry his traits. And God's essential nature is love. So we must have love if we're following God. If we don't have that trait, then we're in trouble. In the following verses, John really draws out a comparison. Cain exemplifies hatred for his brother, while Jesus Christ, on the other hand, exemplifies that perfect love, the love that we see him on the cross where he laid down his life for the world. John also points out that the world is really divided into two groups, those who belong to the devil and those who belong to God. And as we see John's language clearly expressing, we are either children of the devil or we are children of God. And I think a lot of times for many people, it's hard to come to grips with that. We almost want to create a third group in our own mind. Okay, you have children of God and you have children of devil, and we almost want to make a third group in the middle. You know, the place where they're not really followers of Christ, but they're good people. You know, we really want to try and make that a third one. But there isn't a third one there. You see, John, not just John, but also the Apostle Paul, many others, other authors in the New Testament, and even Jesus Christ himself make it clear that you are either a faithful follower of Christ and a child of God, or you are not. John just simply puts a name to that, those that are not, and calls them children of the devil. And there are many things that I could preach on in this section of Scripture here, and many things that I've already preached on, because every time I keep returning to the same topic, I need to preach on something different, otherwise you'd be hearing the same thing over and over. So what I'm going to speak on and look at today is I'm going to look at Cain. You see, in Scripture, everything is here for us to learn from. And even though Cain made some terrible choices, we can learn from them. We can learn from the things that he did, learn to avoid the sins that he struggled with and fell into. We can also learn about God, and through his interaction with Cain, we can learn a lot about God just in that interaction. So let's read the story of Cain and Abel, and it's going to be about 10 verses, so I'll be reading another good section of Scripture, starting with Genesis chapter 4, and I'll be starting with the second half of verse 2. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done?" "Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Now there's a lot more that you could read in that section of Scripture, but that's where I'm going to end. There's quite a bit of commentaries out there with different writings on this story and writings about what happened between Cain and Abel. And this really is a story about the impact of sin and the importance of the heart of a believer. This really doesn't have much to do with offering of livestock versus the offering of something that comes from the soil. We see later in the law that both things were acceptable offerings and acceptable sacrifices. Yet for Abel, his offering was favorable, and Cain's was not. Why is that? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, because we're here to look at the character of Cain. But looking at why this is may help us understand what may be going on with Cain as he makes offerings to the Lord. We see Cain brought fruits of the soil, which again is an acceptable offering. But could it be that Cain brought the leftovers? Maybe what Cain brought was the fruit that he didn't want to eat. Where Abel brought the firstborn. That could be. It could be that Abel gave the best of the first while Cain did the opposite. Maybe it was the heart of Cain and not so much the offering. Maybe he gave, but he did it reluctantly and not out of a heart of worship. Maybe he gave out of competition with his brother. Maybe Cain was already harboring a hatred toward his brother, and because of the condition of his heart, his offering was not pleasing. You know, we really could go on with all sorts of possibilities. We could keep going with different thoughts on why Cain's offering was not pleasing to the Lord, but the fact remains, Scripture is not explicit and doesn't tell us specifically why it wasn't pleasing to him. However, we are told of what Cain's response was, and we can see problems. Cain became angry, very angry, and his face was downcast. I would venture to say that he was angry at God, and I know most definitely he was angry at his brother Abel. With Abel, it would have been more of a jealous anger that his was pleasing to the Lord, where Cain's was not. And this is where I want to take a moment and see what this would look like for us today. Is this something that we can struggle with, the same things that Cain did? Do you ever get angry with a brother or sister? Now, this doesn't even have to be a blood relative. It could be a fellow Christian, but do you ever get angry at a brother and sister, not because they did something against you, but because they always seem to do things better? They do things right almost every time. They never seem to struggle. Have you ever thought, I can't stand being around this person or that person? They're such a goody-two-shoe. They never seem to make a mistake. They always seem perfect. I always struggle with something and they're always seemingly doing well. Just can't stand being around them. They always seem to make the right choices and I just seem to struggle more and make the wrong choices. You ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that a little jealous of what another Christian may have? I mean, this person or that person, they seem so rich. They don't seem to know what it's like to ever be in need. Why does God bless them with good finances and not me? I mean, if God is the source of everything I have, He obviously blesses others differently when it comes to possessions or wealth. Why is God favoring them and not me? I just can't stand being around them because it's a constant reminder. You see, when we think about some of these things, though we may think that we are entirely different from Cain, we just might not be so different. And sin is right there at the front door. When someone is blessed by the Lord, we're to celebrate with them in that blessing. When someone is given a gift, we're to celebrate with them. With our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to share in each other's joys just as we are to share in each other's burdens. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. See, life can be difficult living in a world that's bent on sin, and we are to be different. Let us not be at odds with each other, but to grow together. You know, we look at this letter that John was writing to the church. You know, there was fellow believers that were at odds with each other. Rather than fighting each other, we need each other. We are all a part of the same body. Christ is the head, we're the body. So we come to the point where we need to strive to grow together, encourage one another, to build each other up. That's loving each other. Loving each other in the times of blessings and loving each other in the difficult times as well. What a difference I think it would have been in that Cain and Abel story. I like to think about these things, and pardon me if I depart from Scripture. What a difference it would have been if Cain, after that offering, found out his was not pleasing. If he would have given Abel a high five and just said, hey, way to go, brother. You did good. The Lord was pleased with your sacrifice. You know what? I missed the mark. But hey, next time, I'm going to get it right. Then Abel might have had an opportunity to speak words of encouragement to him. But that's not what happened. And we see the depravity of man and sin. Cain was angry and jealous, and it grew inside him. God confronts Cain about his attitude and behavior. What is it we see from God? We see a God who is patient. We see a God who desired to see Cain grow and to walk in his ways. We don't see a God lording over Cain, just waiting for him to mess up. We don't see that. God is telling Cain, hey, you missed the mark this time, but if you make some changes, you'll do well. And I fully believe that God would have helped Cain make those right changes. He would have helped him to change. God's desire isn't to see his creation go their own way and fall out of a relationship with him. No, God wants us close to him. God wants us to grow. That's so encouraging. It's so encouraging. Because as we have seen in John's letter, we know we do mess up. In our experience in life, we miss the mark. We sin. We all fall short. But God is right there. Though he doesn't tolerate sin, he is there encouraging us and helping us, giving us the Holy Spirit, helping us to know what things need to change. It's like the Lord saying, you got this. Just follow my son's example. Follow Jesus' example. And we fall short a lot. But next time we don't have to. You see, we're no longer slaves to sin. We no longer have to keep sinning because Jesus bought our freedom. God, in his talk with Cain, shares a warning with him. It seems that Cain was content to stay in his anger toward God and his brother Abel. But God says in verse 7, But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Imagine a wild beast at the front door wanting to devour you. And we have bears here, so maybe a rabid bear. He's right at your front door just growling nasty, and he wants in. He wants to eat you. Are you going to open the door to it? Most of us would say no. It's not even, that wouldn't even be an option. But you do have a choice. You can let it in, or you cannot let it in. And with those words, again, you're not going to let, most of you are not going to let it in. Yet, in our anger, we see anger as a beast that we can feed, not realizing we're feeding it ourselves. Each time we feed into our anger, we're feeding it ourselves. Sometimes it feels good to feed our anger, to get worked up, muttering. Sometimes I do that. I'm working on it. But we want to replay what happened to us, this offense that happened to us. We want to replay it over and over and over so we can feed it and feed our anger. Through our thoughts and behaviors, we can keep feeding it. And that's what Cain ended up doing. And he was consumed by it, just as God said. Sin is right there, ready to devour you. And I know it can be easy to feed that beast of anger. It can be easier than to starve it, to keep it out. But Cain is an example that we can see what happens. Cain asked Abel to go out into the field with him, and he attacked him and killed him. The hatred in Cain's heart led to the murder of Abel. Jesus shared a similar warning in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. And here's what Jesus adds to that. Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. When we look at the very nature of God, we know that he is love. Hatred for brothers and sisters has no place in the presence of God. Though I know John's scripture speaks of such a hatred for brothers and sisters in Christ, generally speaking, there is no room for such hatred for anyone, not even our enemies. Let's look again at a few verses that we had for today, verses 12 through 14. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. There's so much truth just in these few verses. Don't follow the example of Cain, whose heart chose sin, hatred, and evil. But we're also told in these verses that when we choose to follow Christ's example, to choose that righteousness, the world will respond to us as Cain did Abel. We will be faced with hatred, persecution, and even death. Do you ever think about why Abel was allowed to be murdered? Abel was a righteous man whose offering was favorable to the Lord, yet Cain still murdered him. As Christians, we may have to face similar hatred towards us. And in God's sovereignty, he intervenes on some things and does not in others. And I think about all the apostles. All of them died a martyr's death except for one. But even in the face of hatred, the love of God must shine through us because that love resides in us when we are followers of Christ. And that's where I'm going to close. Next week, I'm actually going to be starting with kind of the rest of the scripture I'm going to continue to look at that statement that John makes with regard to no murderers in heaven. If you were paying attention, you might have wondered, no murderers in heaven. I thought God could forgive that. So we'll look at that next week. And next week we'll also take of communion as well. So please join us next week and